Blog Talk Radio.
BP Racing Fuels, known as the world leader in racing fuels, offering nearly 70 varieties of fuel blends. BP Racing Fuels has the highest reputation for product quality, excellent service, and technical support to assist your every need. BP Racing Fuels has a unique distribution system that can have your fuels delivered to you within a day's time. BP strives to be the next major retail gasoline brand across the U.S. For more information, email tech@bpracingfuels.com or call 210-635-7744. Again, that's tech@bpracingfuels.com or call 210-635-7744.
TRZ manufactures all of your high-performance drag suspension components. All of their products are created in-house with TIG-welded 4130 chrome moly tubing for optimum results. TRZ's aftermarket products are designed to replace all of your stock parts in stock locations. Their products are sold in various states in the U.S. and are also offered in Canada. Contact TRZ Motorsports by calling 407-933-7385 or log on to www.trzmotorsports.com.
Mickey Thompson Performance Tires carries all the specialty tires you need for street, strip, track, and off-road cars. They pride themselves on providing you with the best performance tires in the world. Mickey Thompson Performance Tires are available at a number of retail locations, such as Performance Plus, Jags, and McCormick Racing. For more information, log on to www.mickeythompsontires.com. Once again, www.mickeythompsontires.com.
UPR specializes in all of your performance needs, such as suspension, exhaust, and accessories, from street cars to race cars. They have competitive prices and the best products on the market. UPR offers a variety of performance car packages and special deals that anyone can afford in this tough economy. UPR is open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. To contact UPR sales team, you can call 561-588-6630 or visit them online at www.uprproducts.com.
Jackie Deaver Race Cars. Fast, reliable, experienced.
817-706-6258.
110 Buckskin, Alvarero, Texas. 76009.
Calling all bikers and bike clubs and motorcycle lovers. Street Strokers presents the Big Buck Bonanza. I repeat, calling out all bikers and bike clubs and motorcycle lovers. Street Strokers presents the Big Buck Bonanza.
Hey, y'all, it's the Chief Buck, a busy bee. I'm going to be in the field this Saturday, October the 20th at the Capitol Raceway. You better be there on B-Square. See ya.
Come out for the last big ride and bike gathering of the year. Saturday, October 20th at the Capitol Raceway, 1451 Capitol Raceway Road, Crofton, Maryland. 21114.
Hey, what up? It's Travis Devon, a.k.a. BOSS Bossman. Come rock with us Saturday, October 20th, Capitol Raceway. All my bikers, let's ride out. Let's go.
Only 25 minutes from downtown Baltimore and D.C.
Yo, what's up? It's your man, Conan. Check it out, man. Capitol Raceway is going down. Of course, you know, I'm going to be on the bike doing what I do. Anybody trying to get with me, you know what? You need to come see me. I'm in the building, so make sure you come on out.
For more information, call Mike Mace at 443-240-5372.
One Time for Grudge, Inc., because the baddest grudge racers will be coming from all across the country. As Cold Killer Chris Keaton Productions presents the final hit at the Mega National Dragway November 3rd, featuring $10,500 in class payout. With the Mickey Thompson 10-5 Series, Outlaw Drag Radio Limited Street, 28-inch tire shootout. And for the big tire shootout, run what you brung. Invitation only, open grudge racing and testing tuning. Gates open at 9 a.m., $20 admission. For more info, call 513-415-0942 or log on to grudgeinc.us.
Saturday, November 3rd, at the Macon National Dragway. For the final hit, these guys are looking for Grudge Inc. action. Texas Roll Call. Atomic Dog Top Sportman Corvette. Shownup Racing Peanut Chassis Camaro. King Arthur Blower Camaro. Alley Cat Horace Backhouse Camaro. Flip Chassis Chevy 2 Nova. Turbo Chris Turbo Mustang. Jackie Deaver Blower Camaro. And Galen Smith Blower 57 Hell Air.
Illinois Roll Call. For the final hit, Saturday, November 3rd at the Macon National Dragway. Biz Mustang. Lil Ron LaFusse. Dunye Black Regal. Three Love Big Drag SS Firebird. Take the Great. Bookin'. Ice Cube. Leon. Ron.
Saturday, November 3rd at the Macon National Dragway. Big Low Malibu, T5 Regal, Fast by Gas, SSS10, Ronnie Brown, and Baldy.
Alabama roll call for the final hit Saturday, November 3rd at the Macon National Dragway. DJ Greg, number one stunner, Turbo SS28, Butt Naked, NOS Mustang 28, Trey One, NOS Malibu, Crazy Horse, NOS Mustang, and Duckin' the Law, NOS Malibu.
Maryland roll call for the final hit at the Macon National Dragway. Tricky Ricky, NOS, G-Body. Kentucky roll call for the final hit at the Macon National Dragway Saturday, November 3rd. It's G-Shot, Left Spring on 28th. California roll call for the final hit at the Macon National Dragway Saturday, November 3rd. It's T.O. Russo plus 3 cars.
And the Georgia roll call for the final hit Saturday, November 3rd at the Macon National Dragway is White Boys plus 2 NOS G-Body plus SB NOS Mustang on 28th. Coupe Performance, Blue Car SB NOS on 28th. Candy Factory SB NOS on 28th. Kryptonite NOS PSS on 28th. Dave SB NOS on 28th. Silver Bullet NOS Mustang on 29th. Al B NOS Mustang on 29th. David Floyd SB NOS Mustang on 28th. And Lil Ricky Back Half Camaro. These racers are looking for Grudge Inc. action November 3rd for the final hit at the Macon National Dragway. Enough said.
You are now logged in to GrudgeInc.us, the number one source for grudge racers coast to coast.
Are you ready? Coming from the great state of Texas, it's Atomic Dog Tuesday and Grudge Madness.
Good evening, race fans. Another blessed day. You gotta excuse me. I'm nursing a cold, so my voice might be going in and out, so I'll do the best I can to get this show going. Some people gonna have to take up some slack for me, but my voice ain't all that well. Well, we're gonna start off another week. As you heard, the big highlight for the race is going November 3rd, the final hit, Macon National Dragway, sponsored by Grudge Inc. Texas racers are going out there to the East Coast to represent. Sponsored Grudge Inc. event, Jay Barnes and Cole Killer. Today's show, we're going to talk and see if we have anybody out there. I know the weather was kind of bad this past week in this area. But there may have been some race. I heard there was some race took place, I believe it was Sunday, up there at in the Dallas area. So I don't know if Lorenzo was on here or anybody else there want to talk about that big race that happened in the Dallas area this weekend. Feel free to come on. Also, I'm not sure down in Houston if they got off of the weather bad or for that. But if there's a race that happened, you know about, feel free to come on and let the Grudge world know what happened in the race world. With that being said, we want to always welcome, you know, any upcoming events. There's some upcoming events. Come on. Guys can come on and give a shout-out about their show that they got going. I know we have one this month, on the 27th, going on. Also, following that one, we'll be going to Macon National Dragway November 3rd. The Atlanta Cats have one coming up in Houston November 17th at HMP, followed by Atomic Dog Makeup Race, Show Enough Racing, which should be a big event December the 1st. Dallas Raceway. That brings us on to tonight's topic. Is Sharon, we got anybody out there that touched the button button, want to come on and talk about an upcoming event, talk about a lock-in, a race that happened, just let me know.
Okay, right now we don't. Lorenzo, as far as I can tell, is not on the line yet, and he normally does the race report for Dallas. I don't see anybody else from Dallas with their hand up to step in and do that. So.
Okay, well, we're going to kind of, if any other news comes up, someone I want to talk about, let me know. Other than that, we're going to try to headline a little bit and what the night's topic is. There's a lot of racing going on around here and across country. There's a lot of racing going on, a lot of things shaping place, a lot of new races, a lot of new cars. Some of us know about them, some of us don't, but we're going to keep benching that and keep learning. But this stuff started, like I said, way back. And some of that brings me to tonight's topic. And I'm going to ask everyone, if you have some knowledge, you have some information someone may not know, this is the Grudge World, hey, bring it to light. You know, we have some guests coming on tonight. We're going to speak about some races, and tonight's topic would be about what's the difference between today's races, racing, versus races back in the day. What is the difference between today's races, racing, versus the races back in the day? One thing about it, there's a lot of feared races. Who was your choice, a selection of people today who you think people fear in today's racing? Some guys just have a hard time trying to line up and lock up with this guy. Also, for some of my guests that have been around a long time in Grudge Racing, started out Grudge Racing, who were some of the people back in the day that people feared? This is just to try to bring some of the young with the old in the Grudge World. There's a lot of action been taking place for many years. There's a lot of races that have been around for a very long time. We have some names of some people that we're going to speak to. Some of you may know them, some of you may not. But remember, some of these races, we from all over different places, so some of these races you may not know, but in the area that they're from, they could have been a heavy hitter at some point in time. Just like today, there's races in different cities, different states around here we don't all know about. But in their area, they might be pretty tough. They might be feared. That's why we're now venturing out, crossing state lines, trying to go make more action all over. So just to let you know on that topic, you know, I have some names here that I'm going to call out, and hopefully we can get these people on here to help make some sense, share some light to some of you younger folks, to see some of these people still around. Some of them may not be around as racers, but they still racing fans. You know, tonight, you know, we have King Arthur out of the Austin, Texas area as a guest. We have Philip Black Man, the ghetto boy, out of Houston, Texas, on as a guest. We have Frankie Taylor out of Houston, Texas, coming on as a guest. We have Carmen Tierra out of Austin, Texas, coming on as a guest. We have Alfred Whiteside out of Waco, Texas, coming on as a guest. We have Galen Smith out of Dallas area coming on as a guest. And we also have Robert McDonald out of the Dallas area coming on as a guest. And hopefully we have Joe Golden out of Houston area coming on as a guest. Now, we asked some of these people that I named. Some of you may not know any of these people, but in their era, some of these folks was to be reckoned with. Some of the biggest names we might recognize are going on to run ADRL, and some names became very famous. So with that said, you know, just let people know these guys all at one point in time was Grudge racers and was heavy hitters in their area. You know, tonight's topic might become at some point a heated debate, but that's a part of Grudge racing. That's a part of smack talking. So I'm just going to ask them to try to respect one another, try to talk one at a time, try to be respectful, But at times, you know, it might get a little heated, but that's a part of grudge racing. As long as we keep it grudge, we're being true to the game. So I just want to throw that out there because I heard people talking about it. It's one of the topics that's been coming pretty popular because there's a lot of racists, a lot of young racists. They one day going to be making names for themselves. So in order to make a name for yourself, you had to come from somewhere, from some root. And some of these racists that I called out been around for a very long time. So with that said, and my voice ain't doing the best, I'm going to go, and we want everybody to feel like if they got a point, feel free. Don't hold back. Push the one button and share your experience on what do you think the difference is between races today versus races back in the day. Now I'm going to back up and take a seat and hope everybody enjoy the show. Sharon, we can go to the line.
Okay, Tracy, you've got about four hands up right now. I'm going to open. Carmen, your mic is open.
Okay. How you doing this evening?
How you doing, see?
Hey, how you doing this evening? Can you hear me?
Fine, man.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead. I hear you. Good clip.
Okay. Hey, anyway, my name is Carmen Chiara. Back in the day, they called me Crew C. I come from the era of my life of 1970 up through the 90s. And, we did street racing with Big back in Austin, Texas. And let me first talk about the technology part of the game first. Back then, you know, we got some hitters and we got some rear end gears and old 780 double pump, and we thought we were ready to go. Of course, you know, now things advance so much to modern technology. I mean, you can buy hits already ready to go without getting a port and polish. I mean, modern technology doesn't really take us up until the 22nd century, you know. So with that said, for improvement on racing, I mean, it's been improved. Even cars now coming from stock is running 12 and 13-second cars. It used to be back in the day you had to, you know, get a cam and get some rear end gears and get all this stuff done. But now you can go and get a car coming off the floor room show for 12 seconds. So what a difference years have made. So, but what I'd like to talk about a little bit tonight is some of the old guys, some of the old heroes that we used to fear out on the street. And maybe, Chase, you might remember because maybe those who may not know, Tommy Dog and I go a long way back. Matter of fact, my brother and I, King, was on the road, and King Arthur, my brother, we was out there doing street racing. We were just barely out of high school, and I remember buying an old Roadrunner, 69 film Roadrunner, and I was married then, and my wife used to take it to church on Sundays, and I come out and race it on Sunday evenings. But during the day when we first hit the scene, it was a gentleman named Junior Marshall. He was like our hero around the area. You know, everybody talking about beating people. Well, you know, in the east side, for those from Austin, Texas, was predominantly African-American neighborhood. And Junior Marshall was sort of like our hero. And everybody talking about busting butt. We said, can you beat Junior? That'd be the first thing out of our mouth. Can they beat Junior? Can they beat Junior? Well, you know, like anything, everything come to an end. And like I stated earlier, my brother King Arthur and I, we started doing those cars. I remember I bought 069 Roadrunner, 383. It was the first car, the newest car I ever owned in my life up until that day. That's the newest car I ever owned. But we used to go out and run. And, of course, you had the Junior Marshals of the day, the Hands, the Glens from over in Blackland. Those who are familiar know what I mean by Blackland. It's the northern part of East Austin. And you had all these guys, you know, the really racing. Well, I had a good friend of mine back then named Joe Cleveland. We all went to high school together, and we sort of did our stuff in the garage or in the driveway. We built our cars. And, of course, we came up on the scene. No one knew anything about us. And like I stated, Joe was a guy was very advanced in automotive and still a very good engine builder, but don't have the world recognition like other people. But he was a star in the ghetto. Anyway, as the story goes, we began to race guys. We began to take on the Junior Marshals of the world, and we were beating these guys. And the thing that made it so great, we came out, we would drive our car through the races. These guys would pull us on trailer, and we would bust their butt. And on and on. Of course, that didn't go too well. You know, some of the guys were sore losers, and they didn't really want to. You know, they didn't really want to. They just couldn't take the idea of nobody's beating them. But as the story goes, as the '70s became into the '80s, I got rid of my Roadrunner. Well, a guy turned it over, and I put in a 63 Bedford deal, which I still have today. And, of course, I had a 383, eventually went to a 440. And like I stated earlier, Tracy and I, good friends. And Tracy, when I started racing, he was in high school, eventually went to college to play football. And during the time he was in college, he worked for me as a lifeguard. And we even came even closer. But at this time, I had no idea he was going to be a race car driver. I mean, at the time, but Tommy Dog was a Casanova. He was known for his Casanova. He was a lover. He wasn't a race car driver. But as things went on, he became more into the race car. Well, at this time, my brother Keen and I, we was the top dogs on the street. You know, Keen had a Cruder. And matter of fact, my brother went and got me started spending money on my Roadrunner. And we were busting butt, and he went and got this Cruder from somewhere. And the first time we ran, he started to bust me. I give him credit for that, but that was the first and last time. And, you know, Big Brother began to take the stage. And as we move on to the 80s, we were still out there racing cars on the street. We were racing. Back then, big money was $100, $500. If you raised $500 back in the 70s in these stars, you were going for the juggler. And, man, I mean, we were racing. We were taking all comers. Left and right, we were taking all comers. So, eventually, we started beating the junior marshals of the world. And like I said, each year, that race club we call Sophisticated Funk. Never forget, we call ourselves Sophisticated Funk Racing Club. And we were sophisticated. You know, we had that sharp act. We weren't so boisterous. But, we were laid back, but we were busting butt left and right. Well, as the era began to develop, Tommy Dog, at this time, he's just about finishing high school, getting ready to go into college. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Tracy had his old Nova. Tracy called his old Nova. He had a prime of gray. And, man, you know, of course, nobody gave him credit because he was a new kid on the block. And of course, they was, you know, talking about him, ragging him. But each year he got better and better, better and better with that old Nova. And then later on came the scene with Lester. I call him Sir. But Lester River, I think Tracy, Lester, and I'm going through this all kind of fast, but Lester, Tracy, and a guy named Frank Gibson, they all became part of the racing. And I think, I don't want to say they started the Banner Hunters, but at this time, Hotside, Kerry Hotside, Brian May, some of the local guys, the Yet Boys, it was sort of like a club that, you know, amongst this club, there was the fastest cars in East Austin. Still, Junior Marge was still on the scene, but he was sort of like a fading memory because of the new kids on the block. And for many years, I like to say, if I'm not right, correct me, Tracy, I think from the early 70s all the way to the mid-80s, my brother and I, we dominated the street of East Austin. Now, you know, we didn't get that world-renowned reputation, but in Austin, East Austin, if you came to race, you had to come to race to Cool C, myself or Keen Arthur. And like I said, we had other guys. We had all-comers coming in. We knocked them down. And as time began to develop, I began to do a little change careers. I began to become a teacher, and so I began to teach at the university and stuff. And as I got into my job professional, I began the race car began to fade a little bit on me. Well, as I was fading real fast, like ice cream in the summertime, Tommy Dog was coming on full steam. I mean, the Tommy Dog Racing Club was real good. And like I said earlier, we've always been friends. And we started putting our support behind him. So instead of saying Junior Marshall was top dog of East Austin, well, Tommy Dog became top dog not only of East Austin, of Texas, and eventually part of the United States. I think one year during the 90s, he set the world record for a power glide to go so fast, and I think it might have been the third Tommy Dog. But at this time, Tommy Dog became very feared. And most everybody in East Austin started putting support behind him, not always monetarily, but support. You know, he was the one that we bragged on. He's the one that we thought that was our guy. And so, you know, that was a quick trip down memory lane. But through it all, we had a lot of people come, but Tommy Dog was the one still standing. He's the one that's still standing, and he brought pride. Not that it wasn't pride into the game, but he brought a sense of pride and sophistication to the racing game of Austin, Texas. Not only among the African Americans, the Latinos, or the Anglos, he became the pride of Austin, Texas because he was one of the best. And I think one of the things that made him so feared in his racing game, along with Lester and the Tommy Dog Racing, Frank Gibson, all those guys, taking their time and did it right. They never get outside their game. They, you know, when they come to race, they didn't get so excited while they make mistakes. You know, I remember sometimes Trace and I, we would go out in midnight hours, test driving his car or my old Plymouth to make sure we're taking all the kinks out. So, of course, when we go to the races, people thought that was our first time out. We already got rid of all the kinks and everything like that. So, after a while, Tracy got a reputation of being not only the best, but one of the most proficient racers in our area, meaning that when he was called out for a race, he didn't go out there half cocked. And most of the time, when you put your money down on Tommy Dog, 99.9, you're going to win your money. And people knew this. And so, you know, and the rest is history. You know, right now, you know, I had the opportunity to go to see him on his race a couple of months ago up in Dallas, and I haven't been in a long time. I was so impressed with his race organization, and still he have not missed a beat. He's still proficient. He's still crossing the T's and dotting his I's. And I'm here to say I'm glad that I got to know him not only as a race car driver but as a friend. So until this day, in my opinion, he's one of the most feared racers in our area, not only in Austin, but I think throughout the nation. And so I'm just saying to you guys, it's been a long time coming. I mean, from the 70s until the 2000s, things have changed a lot. But you know what they say in history? The more things change, the more they remain the same. Tommy Dog is still uno nome in my book. And I like to say also my brother King and some of the other guys, they still out there hitting strong. And no slight towards these guys because, like I said, King was a pioneer in the area. He was out there, you know, and he did things a little rough edge. You know, he's a little rough. King would go out there racing with three tires, but he's going to get the race on. But that was my brother, and he'll take all comers. But within saying that and not slighting anyone, the Junior Marshall of the days, the King of the days, and all the other great race cars before our time, Tommy Dog, I think, is the cream of the crop. And that's how racing changed in the area. And I was just so happy to be part of that and still part of that.
Hey, well, see, man, you know, like I said, you've been around, and I appreciate what you said. They mean a lot. And I'm quite sure everybody out there that you touched them in some way that was younger racers and was looking up to you and King when y'all was out there doing y'all thing in junior and some of the others. So, hey, man, appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. You can hang around and enjoy the show, listen to see what some other racers have to say. And just thanks for having you. We will be with you.
Want to say this before I close, Tommy Dog. I just want to say, man, you know, all the great guys that I named, which all deserving, and some I missed, you know, I hate to call names because when you start calling names, you're going to be somebody you miss every time. But before I close, I want to say, you know, kudos to you, but I want to say, you know, when I came out that third time, I've been around about 30-some years, I don't regularly call mom. When I came out the last time, you know, my car was on the corner. You and Lester and Frank, y'all got me off the corner and got me back out there in that street status. Still one of the best street cars around until we just caught and walked away from the game. And I can't thank you enough. I can't thank Lester enough, Frank, and even my brother King Arthur. You know, we might have different opinions, but I know he had my back. And I can't thank none of y'all guys enough for putting me out there, you know, for the time. And I think we couldn't have gave it to a better guy to carry the torch on, like you talking about, dog. So continue your legacy, man. And, you know, things look bad right now, but any way I can support you, you know I have your back, my brother.
Hey, man. Hey, I appreciate it. I always need somebody to have my back. And, hey, what a better person to have it than you, man. You mean a lot to me. So,
thank you,
hey,
dog.
And just hang around, and we're going to go to the line and hit some of the other fellas. Thank
okay,
you, man.
And I appreciate you having me on the show.
No problem. Anytime.
All right.
Next caller, who we got out there?
White Todd, your mic is open.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. Thanks, Tracy, for calling me and giving me an invite on the show here. I listen to it quite a bit. Just in case everybody don't know who I am, I'm Alfred Whiteside. Been building race cars since 1970. I think I built the first tube chassis car in Corpus Christi when I was down there in 74 and been doing it ever since. Come to think of it, probably one of the oldest chassis shops around here, if it comes time to put a date to it. Exclusively, probably one of the only black-owned chassis shops that is almost anywhere. I mean, this is all I do, nothing else. But I've never been too much a grudge racer myself, because I've always ran the class in the inception of the Super Gas and Supercon with my dragsters. I always ran those class, Comp Eliminator and stuff like that, and the Top Sports and all that. But the thing that I have to admit is that if it wasn't for grudge racing has been the backbone to all the racing that is actually here. All the faction bodies, you name them, NMCA, IDRL, IHRA, NHRA, they all came from grudge racing, because when the guys came out of the water and the 40s and stuff, and they had the old hot rods, and they dragged on the street from light to light or corner to corner, it was grudge racing. They got a little sophisticated and changed to drag racing, but tell you the truth about it, drag racing has always been grudge racing. Hello?
Go ahead, Wartime.
And all right. But grudge racing has always been the backbone. And it's kind of funny how life goes around, because it started out from grudge racing and went to sanctioned bodies all over the country and the world being drag racing. And so I feel fortunate that my racing body that I do and I love and cars that I build for actually came from that. And then now, you know, everything kind of goes back to where it came from. You know, you see more grudge racing now than you ever seen in your life. You know, I know it's been out on the East Coast there for a while, but around here is really coming back thanks to guys like Tracy and some of the other promoters. But I really appreciate the fact that that's where it came from, because if it wasn't somebody saying I had a car faster than yours or you had a car faster than mine, it wouldn't be any drag racing. So back when Wally Parks, them, an editor for Peterson Magazine, came aboard and made it all real and made it a real event to where we have a good rules and regulations, you know, it's really come forward. But like I said, it all came from grudge racing, because in the beginning, drag racing was grudge racing. And one of the other topics he's talking about, difference between now and then, you know, back then we had to take just about anything that we could find and make anything. I really did, because in back early days I raced a Ford, and everything for Ford back in the day was just super expensive, because you could find stuff on the side of the street for a Chevrolet and make it go fast. And I finally started witnessing that on some cars I was maintaining down in Corpus. And I had a little Falcon that ran 1140s back in 1974, which was pretty good. But at the same time, one of the cars that I worked on was running 1070s. And I knew I had more money in the Ford than the guy had in the Chevrolet. So it didn't take me long to figure out it. I tried to sneak up on it with a little Pinto that I built back in 75 by building a Ford Pinto and putting a big block Chevrolet in it. And it was a pretty car. I ran 990s back in the late 70s and stuff like that, so it was pretty good. But the other part about the drag racing between now and then, it was real drag races back then. I say that, what I mean is that nowadays, with all the technology and all the electronics and all the gadgets that are available for cars, it has made a lot of drivers that are really not drivers, drivers. And if that's kind of confusing, what I mean is that you can take somebody, you know, take Pro Stock all here 10, 15 years ago, when the NHRA had them with the automated shifters and all that stuff, and there was a guy that had big money, could go out and buy a car and get at it and sit in it and program it and get right in the field. And then they finally came back and make everybody start driving and stuff, and it made a difference. But if that's the way it can be, it's fine. But I'm old school. If it's got levers in it, I'm going to pull it. If it's got a power glide in it, I'm going to push that one lever, because that's all the part about making it fun to drive and knowing that you did something. All these cars with all the switches and buttons and gadgets and stuff, and you go to the end and you didn't do anything but guide the steering wheel. You know, I call that monkey-matics. I'll tell everybody, you know, if you got all that stuff on there and you're not really driving it, you hadn't really accomplished anything. Going back to the same old guys, you know, when I came up, I come from a little town, Cameron, Texas. Didn't know where the drag strip was until I came to Waco in 1963. And some of those guys was Harper and Cole that ran old White Anglia Willis down at Temple. A lot of guys might remember it. Carmen brought up Junior Marshall, which was another aspect of mine that was guidance to make me endure on the stuff, things that I liked in drag racing. Old Slim from Taylor was another old guy. Some of the other guys that were in the upper rank that I paid attention to, Tommy Kendrick and Jerry Jenkins, all those guys there were hard runners, you know. I tell everybody the only way that you can succeed in anything you do is pay attention. And that's kind of what I did, is paid attention to all these guys and seeing what they were doing and all that. My favorite, I've had all two dragsters, dual cars, Econo funny cars, you name them. I've been in just about any of them. But my favorite is the door slammers, especially the nitrous existed, because the nitrous existed cars, door slammers, are the key cars that make grudge racing so exciting. Everybody, all the fans, I mean, the blow cars are there too, and everybody likes them, but you pick out a grudge event, and 80% of the cars there are going to be nitrous cars because that's what everybody likes. And back to the choice of cars and stuff, I've always selected the dual cars because it's more maintaining to take a dual car with high horsepower and make it go from A to B. I tell everybody with the altered or dragster that if you got a high horsepower, say 1,800 horsepower car, the motor's sitting dead in the middle, you're sitting dead in the middle, there's no suspension on any corner, and it's set up there, it normally goes from A to B with no problem, especially the dragster. But you take that same 1,800 pounds, car hanging out in the middle, a motor hanging out on the front end of the car, driver sitting on the left-hand side of the car, got suspension on all four corners, you really got to know your math and geometry and all everything to make that car right so it will go from A to B. So they've always been more exciting for me. That's why I've always tended to hang around with the dual cars because it takes a little bit more finesse to get them to do what you need them to do as opposed to, you know, solid inline driver center and all that kind of stuff. The early days of hot rod, you know, I already talked about that a little bit, about where we came from and what it is today. And so, like I said, just to kind of cut that short, my input on it is that grudge racing is the key, because without grudge racing, we never would have had drag racing. Thank you, Tracy.
Appreciate it, Whiteside, man. Well said, man. It's always nice to have you around. Like you said, a lot of guys, we got people going in from different states, may not know who you are. They can look you up and tell them you're famous and they look kart racing. Yeah, let them know that you build little karts and you built your own drag strip.
I've stopped it now because of the economy and it just wasn't that hot. For about 10 years, I had a 1/43rd scale slot car drag racing event set up that I had in a strip mall here in Waco. And I still today send some of the bodies because I made all my own molds. I would make the bodies, and I send them to all the guys all across the country that's in the same sport. So it was pretty gratifying because I just took what I knew in the one-to-one racing and building the cars and just took it down to a scale. And I've been blessed all my life from the man upstairs to be able to see something in my head and make my hands make it. So I made all these little cars and still have them today. And one of these days I'll start the racing again. But anybody that would be interested can go to the website, whitesideracecars.com, and click on the bottom left-hand side where it says slot car racing, and you can see a lot about it. And, you know, I'm pretty humble about what I do. But like I say, I'm about one of the only black chassis guys around that I know of that do this just for a living. You know, not go punch a clock and come in and do in the shop and work on other stuff. This is all I do, period. And as far as gratification on some things, I remember back in 2007, I had a guy come to me and tell me that, congratulating me on a car that was the fastest street car in America in 2007. Happened to be a black 67 Camaro that was owned by Denny Tervis out of Pennsylvania. And I didn't pay much attention to it because, I just kind of let it go. And then somebody else said something else about it again. And so I went to the magazine rack, and this car is all over the magazine, all over the magazine. Every magazine you pick up, it's all over some type of publication or sponsorship or something. So it kind of rattled my feathers a little bit because there was nowhere stated in the whole articles in the other magazines where the car came from. And I had built the car for a guy here in Waco, and he sold it to a guy down in Temple. And a gentleman that bought it out of Pennsylvania bought it from the second owner. And the second owner had told him who built the car and everything. But for some reason, he elected not to leave that out. And so I called the guy in Pennsylvania myself personally. First of all, I congratulated him on all the accomplishments he had made with the car. And I was in all the magazines, and it was pretty good sight to see. But the only problem was is that it didn't have where the car came from. It was the backbone of the car came from right here in Waco, Texas. And I let him know that the only thing that had been changed on the car, this is the car that had the Pro Charger on it that ran 770s on average at the Hot Rod drag tour. And which is really funny because I ran 770s with it with a small block and then a 5-speed back when it was originally built. But anyway, I let him know that I was going to let the world know where the car came from. And it ruffled his feathers a little bit, and he tried to tell me the car was a piece of junk when he bought it and everything, and I cleared that up. I let him know that it couldn't have been a piece of junk because he paid $37,000 for it. But anyway, that car went on to be, that was quite an accomplishment there. And if you go to what's the news on my website, you can read the whole story about that from the day one the car was originally built to the second owner, and you can see it was all the same car. And so that was quite gratifying there. And then some of the other cars I've got around the country here, and Trace has had one of them, and I've got one in Sweden, and I got one in Holland that I've done. And I don't think much about it, but when you bring it up, then I think about it, and I'm pretty thankful and blessed that I've been able to do that in my drag racing career, because there's nothing else I love drag racing anymore except for the man upstairs. So thanks again.
Okay, man. Well, I appreciate that. Okay, man, yeah. We got some of the guests that are supposed to be coming on. The lines are kind of full right now. Probably some of them can't get on. So I just say keep trying. People drop off and you can get in. But since I can't, I don't see some of the others that are supposed to be on and probably can't get on. We're going to go to the line and see. Anybody got anything they want to talk about for today's racing or back in the day's races? Hey, push the button. Who we got out there?
Mississippi Joe, your mic is open.
Hey, Governor, how you doing? How you doing, partner?
What's up, Mississippi Joe? How you doing?
Man, I'm blessed and highly favored. I just been tuning in. Tracy, you having a good show. This is my first time tuning in to your show. My bad. I've been meaning to get on here a lot, but thank God he finally let me make it. You know what I mean? And you're having a good show. And I see you paying everybody to lie, so I'm going to get on here and lie, too, and say you a good man and you the baddest man I ever seen, too, Tracy. What you think about that?
Hey, man. You don't have to lie about me, man. Just tell like this. Hey, but Joe, now this way, some of the people on the line might not know who you are and what car you stand behind, so tell some of my guests. They don't know you.
Okay, I'm Mississippi Joe. I'm part of the Gangsta Boo, the two-time world champion, G-Body champion, Stockton Fenton champion, world champion, extreme G-Body champion, Grudge Inc. Extreme means ladder bar, four-link, any suspension on 29s, no willy bars. Two-time world champion. Thank you. We're looking forward to coming to Texas 2013 with the new improved Gangsta Boo. As everybody knows who keep up with Grudge Racing, we put 28s on the Gangsta Boo, and we had an accident with it, so we're in the process of rebuilding. So, good Lord said the same. We will see everybody in Texas 2013 with another Gangsta Boo. So, we praying and hoping that everything be all right.
Well, what's that paper saying, Joe? You said when you probably see him, what's your paper saying? What don't happen?
Trace, I can't hear you good. What you saying now?
What's that paper saying, y'all? You always telling people when you're trying to go somewhere, you're trying to see them. Lonely, what don't happen now?
Oh, if nobody don't move, nobody won't get hurt. Is that it, Trace?
What about the creek, man? What about the creek, man?
Oh, yeah, if the creek don't rise, Trace, if the creek don't rise, we're going to be doing this thing strong and heavy at the beginning of 2013, Trace, just for the ones out there in your area that don't know. We plan on having the Gangsta Boo ready for Fat Tuesday.
Well, we look forward and hope everything works out, man. Sorry about that event, you know, what happened. You didn't let the people know who drive that car. You let them know who you are. You didn't let them know who drives it. You know, a lot of people already know you drive.
I sure didn't. We are picked up and part of the prime time camp. Tony Moss Bynes is our driver. And we can't wait to get back. And he can't wait for us to get back with it. And we're going to do this thing all over one more game, you know. And Trace, if you don't mind while I'm on here, I'd like to give a shout-out to couple people out there in the Texas area, if you don't mind.
Hey, go on. It's your nipple, man. You know how it is. Go ahead on.
Well, I'd like to give a shout-out to my boy out there, King Arthur, to the Twins, Alley Cat, Big Mo, DJ, everybody. Everybody that I know, hello to everybody. And hopefully I'll see some of you guys November the 3rd at Macon National Dragway when we're having this big grudging race. And, Trace, you're doing a tremendous job. You're doing good with the show. You're doing good with the grudge game. Just keep up the good work, man. And you know you got my support, Governor.
I appreciate it, man. We're just going to do what we do. You talking about King Arthur. King Arthur's supposed to be on here. I don't see his number up there. He's supposed to be on here. I don't know. Maybe he got blocked out. I don't know. I hadn't received a text. But he's one of them that's supposed to be on here. The line's kind of full, so he just kings out there. He got to keep trying. Someone got to get him on.
Well, Tracy, I'm about to get somebody some room, Tracy, because I'm finna get in this gym. I just stayed on long enough just to give you a shout-out and tell you to keep up the good work, and I'm finna get in this gym, Tracy.
Okay, man. Appreciate you coming on. Any time, man. Thanks.
All right, great show, Trace. Later.
Okay, man. All right. Okay, we're going to continue the show moving, and we want to hear from some of these young and old grudge racers.
Tinker, your mic is open. I just opened Tinker's mic. Tinker, your mic is open. Okay,
Tinker, they got all the noise.
That was Tinker with all the background noise, and apparently he's not paying attention. In the meantime, Roy James, your mic is open.
Hey, Trace, how you doing tonight?
Hey, what's going on, Roy? How you doing?
Oh, not too much. I like to say, back in the days when we used to go to Port of Texas, and one of the main guy was kind of got me into racing. If you don't hear about him too much, you hear about his brother, and that's Butchernell. He had a 55 Chevrolet back in the days, and believe it or not, I ended up buying that car from Butchernell and put it on the street, and I was winning racing way. That was back in the 60s, and you never hear too much about him anymore, but he was a good drive, had a good car, that 55 Chevrolet. I never will forget. I just loved to go to Porter's on a Sunday evening and watch Butchernell run that 55 Chevrolet.
Is that right?
He's cut ahead out there at Porter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was good racer, good racer back there in the days.
You speaking about Porter, Brown? What time was that?
Oh, that was back in the 60s and 70s.
Okay,
about the 70s. Yeah,
okay.
And that's where everybody went on a Sunday evening to take their family, you know, go out. I mean, it was good racing back then. I mean, real good race. Back in the day.
I've been to Porter a few times myself trying to get a race on. Porter was a track to go to up there on Sundays. That was a track to go to. They have a pack house out there every Sunday. Yeah, I remember
the Porter. Yeah, that's all that I wanted to say. Like I said, you don't hear too much about Butch Nail anymore, but he was one of the racers that we all looked up to back there in the days back when we used to go to Porter.
Okay, Roy.
Okay.
What y'all doing, Roy? Coming out with your new car, y'all got going.
What you say, Kurt, Tracy?
What you got going? I mean, y'all doing all right with your new car?
Oh yeah. We're doing okay. We are just sitting back for a little bit, but we're doing all right with it. We're gonna come out again after a while, but it's doing good.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So,
there's a lot of people out here, so the show is full, man. And people are texting me saying they can't get in, you know. So we got a lot of people on there. So some of these folks, hey, what's the one button? Talk about some of the people that you know, or talk about some race you want to see. Talk about some of the young races that's happening today. So, hey, everybody, you know, like where you participation, put it out there as information. The growers world want to hear about it.
Okay, Tracy, right now there aren't any other hands up. Like you say, the show is full, so a couple of the guests may have a little difficulties getting in. Tinka is trying to get King Arthur on the line for you. I've called Frankie a couple of times, and it's gone to his voicemail. So if he's trying to get on, or if somebody out there, you know, can get Frankie on, if he calls, you need to do so. So in the meantime, we do have a couple of more hands up, Tracy.
Okay, go through the line.
Your mic is open.
What up, Mom? Mom, you out there?
Okay, Tracy, let me try this one. 504-5817, your mic is open.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Tracy?
What's happening? Who we got, Ma?
This is Boom on Wheels, man, out of New Orleans.
Hey, what's going on, guy? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing fine, man. I'm just calling. I've been listening on your show here. I'm loving the show as I'm listening right now. I just want to go in because I'm not going to be able to stay on very long tonight due to work at the shop here. But I just want to let you know that I enjoy listening to your show. I've been listening, and also I want the Texas guys to know that New Orleans is going to be on the map also with the new station that's coming up, and futuristic things will be happening here, and also to let you know that I'm going to be there to support you December 1st.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. We'll get together and hook up and see what we can do to help support each other.
And also let you know that you'll hear a whole lot more out of Boom on Wheels, out of New Orleans. And a lot of the races, I know y'all, a lot of your guys are already familiar with a lot of these guys, especially with big tie cars over here in this area. I'm glad to know that your website and your show is on now, because I was trying to get in touch with quite a few of the guys that I've seen on your that I know that was on, that could be on your show, like Flip and Show Enough. Because I had put on a show, and a couple of people that Flip was trying to get at in Hattiesburg was participating in my show, like Bullet. Bullet and Flip was finna do something up in Hattiesburg, and Flip had catastrophic problems, if I'm not mistaken, with his converter or something, so he couldn't get at Bullet. And Bullet was at my show. for this last race I put on at No Problem Dragway. Also, tomorrow, too, if any listeners are interested in it from out of Texas, my show will come on tomorrow out of New Orleans live. Boy, where's the girl, Jake? At 7 o'clock tomorrow. So if any of your listeners want to try to get at some of these New Orleans guys, I got quite a few of them, especially the hip mob, going to be online with me tomorrow. And I ain't taking up a whole lot of time. Trace, I just want to put that out there, let y'all know what's coming to the grudging.
I appreciate it, man. Check it out. Somebody's got their foot open. You got to shut up the door open and a bell going off or something. If you're not talking, can you please mute your mic? We're going to go
Tracy,
to the line.
Tracy, there was only one mic open. I think that was Broom opening his door.
Okay, well, we'll go. We've got the next call out there.
Chucky, your mic is open.
Hang on. Sorry about that. I accidentally pushed the one by accident.
What's up, Chucky?
Oh, nothing much. What's going on?
Not much. I saw your name pop up on Hot Rod Gossip there. I saw your name pop up.
Three man called me today. He said that just somebody writing that on there that if he wants to race, he don't want to play games on the internet, that he'll call me and let me know. But as of right now, we're not doing nothing. He said he's got some other people that have been calling him out that he's ready for now, and he wants to try them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what are your plans for that call? You don't got a big race down in December 1st and in Dallas.
Well, we're looking for a race if somebody wants to run it. I mean, but we're going to. You know, we're going to be racing ADR, finish up with ADRL and go to Vegas for the finals, but we're looking for a race if somebody wants to run it this Sunday.
Okay, you going to be at HMP or you going to be in Houston? You're going to be at HMP, right?
No, we'll be in Dallas at the ADRL.
Oh, okay. So you're racing up there?
Yeah, we'll be racing in Pro Mod this weekend, but we'd like to find a little grudge race on Sunday if somebody wants to run.
You got your turbo car, right?
Yep.
You're called
Turbo now,
right?
Yes, twin turbo Cavalier. Wolf's driving it.
Yeah. Okay, man. People gonna sit around and watch and see how you do at ADRL. You know, turbo cars, you know, when cars up top, you like to sit back and watch them a little bit.
I understand.
So, what you got for the, you a grudge racer, been around a long time. What you got, what kind of mix you got for the grudge fans out here? Got a lot of people out here listening. This is Chucky, like you say, with the Cavalier. You done grudge race quite a few yourself.
I'm just listening to y'all tonight. I ain't got a whole lot to say.
Okay, then, Chuck, you can sit back and just listen to see what's going on. See if something might jump off, something might get stirred up here in a minute. So we're going to go to the line and see what the next call is and see what they got to say.
Tracy, those are the only callers with their hands up right now. I saw Joe Golden a few minutes ago. He had his hand up, but he took his hand down. And I also saw Jimmy with his hand up, and he took his hand down. I don't know if they're scared or what, but Jimmy and Joe, I'm not saying scared, sorry. But Jimmy and Joe, if you'll push the one button for me again, I'll get your mic open. And Tinka still has his hand up.
Tinker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, look, I got Mr. King on the phone. Mr. King.
Yeah.
King.
Tinker got me on.
King. You
yeah.
Loud and clear, man. You on national TV, man.
Is I'm on now?
Yeah, you on, man. I said
yeah,
I would get you on. Tinker.
What's up?
How you doing, Mr. Tracy?
Yeah.
King, you were tall gone, say back in the day racing. Now that's something you should go, man.
King, how you not on there? You've been on the beginning and looking for you.
Say, man, I've been trying to get on this show for about an hour and a half, man.
We can't.
Hello?
His mic is open. Go ahead. We can hear.
Tracy, what's going on, man?
What's it?
Tracy, this is Jimmy. What's going on?
I have a background noise. Keep your mic. If King not talking yet, then let Jimmy talk. He can come back and talk after Jimmy. What's up, man?
Tracy, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead. You loud and clear.
What's going on, man? I just want to give one of them more bad shout-outs, man. You know what I'm saying? You're holding it down with this show right here, man. You know what I'm saying? And you represent Austin, and I'd like to see everybody in Austin to come together and, you know what I'm saying, man, we can make some of them old trips and go up there and put Austin on the map, man, and crack these boys all over here. You know what I'm saying? And as far as that back in the day go, you know, well, you know, like I said, man, you're doing a good job, man, and I know who inspired you. And I mean, you know, I wish he was here to this day, man, where he can kind of give his little input in, man, you know. And the person I'm talking about is Junior Marshall. Because, you know, like I say, he the one got all this cranked up around here in Austin. Without drag race, if his name didn't come up, it wasn't even no drag race. And I'm pretty sure everybody out there from Austin listening, they know that, you know. So...
Yes, Carmen came on and said about Junior Marshall. Junior Marshall was the godfather of drag racing around here in this area, so we all kind of looked up to Junior Marshall. You know, he's the late Junior Marshall now, but he was the godfather. And like I say, we always try to keep some kind of legacy going in the drag racing world, and you're offspring of the Marshall family, and we just waiting on you to have your time to shine, you know?
Yeah. That's true, and it's going to come, you know, like he said, you know, like he was saying, ain't no wine for a time, but, you know, yeah, it's going to come. I'm going to get my time back out there, man, you know. You know, like I said, I don't know, I'm going to be fast as them boys, but, you know, I'm going to get mine back out there. Right now, I feel like, you know, the torch been passed to you. You know, you holding it down now. So, that's one good positive thing right there. I mean, you done just took it to another level, though. You know, just like I'm saying, just like back in the days, if you was in drag racing, all you had to mention is Junior Marshall. And now you mention drag racing now, you say Tracy Smith, everybody know you. You know, it's like the torch been passed to you, you know. So you holding it down now. So, you know, I mean, you know. Ain't nothing negative, all positive, man, and everybody in Austin already know what time it is, man, you know. I mean, it'd be good if everybody can get together and, you know, we all come together as a family like it was before and, you know, just like we was around here back in the days racing each other, we can all get together and go race other people, you know what I'm saying? I think that'd be, you know, something real good, man, just like we used to do, you know, back in the day you had the bounty hunters, you know, had all y'all and then you had us as the aristocrats. And, you know, we all got together and ran each other, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it was all fun and good. Now, you know, took it to another level with this going, you know, racing people from out of town and stuff. So I feel like we all need to just get together and, you know what I'm saying, and go up there and get at some of these other people, you know? Just like old boy a while ago just said on Louisiana, he about to, you know, crank it up, you know, look for him in the future. So, hey, man, why not Austin? I mean, you hosting the show, you know? Everybody get together, you know, make it happen, you know. I think that'll be good, you know.
Well, that's a good thing, Jim, and a lot of us is getting together and then we going to make it happen the driveway November 3rd, so we kind of grouping up and going out there and try to represent the best we can. So people on that side of the East Coast will know a cause in Texas out there, you know. Of course, some of the other ones are going on a little further to another race out there, so Texas is going to be represented November 3rd out on the East Coast, one way or another. So we'll see how we fare. And as long as we stay together and keep trying to work together, hey, you know, we're going to be on the map, not just in Austin, Texas, just in Houston, Texas, or Dallas, Texas. We're going to be on the map as far as just Texas, you know, in the grudge scene. We do have some real fast class races out there known all over the world, and the world of class racing recognize them. We're trying to get, you know, Texas as a whole to be represented, you know, as a big grudge racing state also.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be good, man. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, that'll be real good, man. I like to see that happen, man. You know, like you're saying, yeah, it ain't Austin, man. It's Texas. So that's another good thing. You know, everybody in Texas getting together. Houston, Dallas, everybody getting together, going up there, handling their business, man. And that's a good thing right there, you know. So, you know, we need Texas need to be put on the map, man. You know, I feel like we need to be put on the map. So far, like I said, once again, man, you holding it down, man. You know, around here, you holding it down. You know, you got East City, everybody representing. You got people in Dallas representing. You got people in Houston representing. You know what I'm saying? And I guess you the only one representing here in Austin, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, you know, there's other suspects out there, you know. You know, can step up to the plate. You know, we can all just, you know what I'm saying? We all can just eat, have fun, and, you know, go put Austin on the map, you know, instead of just having one car, which is yourself. You know, we get some more cars, man, it'd be great. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, we just got to keep working on it, Jimmy. Just got to keep working on it.
I mean, you know, once before, back in the day, we had some chillers out here. We had old King Arts out there. You know what I'm saying? We had High Side, you know. Everybody just come together, man. You know what I'm saying? And, hey, and make it happen, man. I mean,
yeah.
That's, you know, that's my input on it, man. I mean, you know, maybe we need to get together, man, and just, you know, host us a little old something and maybe go eat or something, man, and get done and put the Austin boys together where we can go and represent for real, you know?
That's right. I like to see it happen. I like to see it happen.
They got different classes, you know. It ain't all got to be pro models, you know. Like you say, you got your G bodies, you got your back half, you know what I'm saying? They got you as a pro mark. We ain't all got to be running the same.
Got to
go back home, and they got no goddamn money.
Okay, Jimmy.
You know, so, like I say, man, hold it down, man. The torch been passed to you, man, so. Might as well go and represent, man. You know what I'm saying? You're doing the same, man. So like I say, man, you know. Nowadays, you holler Tracy Smith, everybody know you. So like I said, back in the day, you holler Junior Marshall, everybody know him. The torch may pass to you. Guess what? Run with it, baby. That's all I can tell you. Tummy dog in the house. Run with it.
Well, Jimmy, I'm looking forward to passing on to some of you younger fellas. I've been doing it for a long time now. I'm going to continue to do it. But I'm looking for some younger fellas in there to step up and try to make a name in the world of drugs. There's a lot of young fellas have cars out here, but for some reason, I know it sometimes things to pick up, but I'm looking for them to step up. Hey, we're going to do what we do, and we're going to keep moving along. We're going to continue. We're going to go to the line to see, I think King, you got King out there?
King is on Tinker's phone.
What, man?
You, let's go.
What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say, Tinker? You my
wife. Huh? You're talking about back in the day. Yeah. Well, I want to hear your perspective back in the day.
What you want to know about back in the day?
Man, you on the air, man. You on the air. You can't tell me. You got to tell the world.
Well, I can tell the world. What do y'all want to know back in the day?
Your brother was there earlier.
Y'all want to know who would be in all the most races?
Yeah, back in the day? Yeah, talk about it.
Well, back in the day, well, let me just give you my life childhood story for all the haters to understand what I did. Back in the day, I used to have an old 64 Ford with an old 302 motor in it. I was in high school. I used to outrun everybody in it to old Boomer moving around and outrun me in the old that old Boomer, he had a Mons, a Le Mans Pontiac. That old Ford outrun everybody till he got to the Mons Pontiac with that 326 in it. He outrun me. And wait a minute.
Come
There's only one mic open, Tracy. The only mics that are open are yours and Tinka's.
Whoever that is, tell them mute the mics, man. I'm trying to tell my story now.
There's only one mic open.
Tinka, you doing something? Man, I ain't doing. I'm sitting in front of, in the chair listening to King.
All right, well.
King, what you driving?
I'm going to move tomorrow because y'all want me to tell this. Let me tell it.
Did you drive or something, King?
No, I'm sitting up there, goddamn me, on a weight bench, man. You know, I don't do no weight lifting.
Okay, what?
So anyway, let me go. Okay, here we go.
That's better, man.
We had a Barracuda, 71. I run everybody in Austin, Texas with the Barracuda. And then I got rid of the Barracuda after running in somebody's house. And after I got rid of the Barracuda, I think old Tracy was the pilot on this. I was at the race game for about a year or two, and somebody said, King, where your car at? They wanted to run me. So Tracy found a 58 Camaro, and the car was named Future. And King said he had a Future. So I run the old Future, and I believe we can ask this with all the people out here. I believe that was the fastest street car. It turned out to be the fastest street car in Austin. I mean, I could outrun everybody on the street, but at the time, Atomic Dog did have a car named Atomic Dog. He wouldn't run on the street, but he could outrun me at the track. So, and most back then, we did street racing, and that old car didn't run nothing but some 10s. But it run 10s on the street, and it run 10s at the track. And I had got there. I have to give this old shout out to a white brother of mine, his name was Bubba. He was a white brother. Bubba had a yellow Camaro. I bought the motor out of his car, and Bubba was the fastest street car at the time, so it turned old Camaro the fastest street car. And then after that, I laid dead and come up with an old car called a Pinto Bean with jalapeno peppers. Old car had a 503 motor in it, 2 4s, and when we started, first got back together, you know, everybody was kind of, you know, and we went to this little old Houston town, old Porter had an old track out there, and we went, you know, we got in where we fit in, and then we went to Yellow Belly with the old Camaro. We went from Houston, Dallas, that's when we run into old Galen Smith and all of them at the track called Yellow Belly. And then we had our own little track, and I have to give a shout-out to one of my partners that's not here now, and that was old Darwin. They call him Black. He had old Firebird. He was pretty tough, dirty white boy with a driver. And this was all good. But what I really got to say about the back in the day racing, you know, everybody did show up. Everybody did what you call it. And what we got going now in Austin, Texas, Houston, Texas, and Dallas, everybody want to be heroes. But behind every hero, it was a good soldier. So what it is, we need some good soldiers right now, you know. Right now, what Atomic Dog doing, my hat's off to him. Atomic Dog is trying to, you know, meet and greet all the way around the world. Atomic Dog, he take this very seriously, you know. But what I can say about King, I'm a fella, I bar none, and I'm going to have fun wherever I go. And if you're not going to have no fun where you go, you really shouldn't go. So, you know, everybody put me as a bullshit, man, all these other, the Mr. White Man would say I'm one of the smartest brothers in the world. And I don't knock nobody, and I tell it like it is. If King say something, if I tell you a rooster dip snuff,
look up under his left wing and find a snuff box. And all I'm going to say, I'm not going to take up all this time, boy, it ain't no party like a King Arthur's party. We're going to have fun, we're going to do this, and guess what? I love everybody out here and all the haters that, you know, I feel hate me. You know, we know there's some haters, but don't congratulate the haters. Just let them know who they are. Once you expose a hater, he normally back up off of you a little bit. So all I'm saying, back in the day, team was pretty tough. I did outrun quite a few people. And still will, you know, I still got, I bought a new car, me and my partner Mo, and we out here with two of the old blower cars, and I guarantee you we're going to be in Macon, Georgia, and we're going to represent. And for all these old cars, you know, they, y'all in Austin, Texas might not take King serious, but everybody that can deal with me, know that I'm the real deal. And when I say I'm the real deal, if you outrun me, I'm not going to get mad. But I guarantee you, anything that I do, if we keep doing it, you ain't going to keep bothering me. You're going to let me make it. I get them passes all the time. So what I've got to say, you know, last week I wasn't on the show, and we had an old guy from Houston. Ladies and gentlemen, Phil is a good racing guy, but he pick and choose his races real, real good. Back in the day when we was in Houston, Phil was outrunning everybody, but he pick and choose who he want to race. Now, what Phil do? Phil ain't really never just had a car by himself, of my knowledge. They say it's Black Bat with Hill, but it was always four or five people trying to run it, so that tell me it wasn't his. So anyway, the cars that Venom, me and Venom, he talking about he wanted to run me and Venom. We tried to hook up. We almost got there, but he wasn't going to like it. The time that I did come to run Phil, he didn't even bring his car out there. And we went out to the Baytown. Then when I bought the car to Houston, we had a little complications with that. But for it, Phil, or just beating me down, or anybody just outrunning me, that ain't to happen, man, and that ain't going to happen. And last week, Mr. Horace say that he been trying to run me 20 years. No, he been looking over the fence 20 years. He ain't never just wanted to get in that goddamn square. He been looking at me for 20 years. I would look good on his resume. I would look good on anybody's resume. And I really, really appreciate y'all letting me just get this off my chest. And if y'all want to talk to King, Tommy Dog know how to get me. So I'm going to have this man to mute the mic. Boy, but I had a whole bunch of stuff I was going to say, but we all got together before this show and don't want to. I just put out there the good, positive stuff. So y'all enjoy the show. Rudge Will, appreciate y'all taking me serious.
All right, King. Just hang around. Hey, we got other hands up. I mean, who we got?
Scooby, your mic is open.
Hey, how y'all doing?
I've
been a long time girl racer, and that guy Boone from New Orleans. My uncle and his dad, you know, they all come up grass. Drag racing and career racing together. And, you know, I just love it. And as a little bit of boy, I remember my uncle and them had them GTXs with them 440s and six packs. And I remember this one story. They had this car, and, you know, they were running. And this guy came down, and he had the same identical car. And he told my uncle, I'm going to put you out there five. And he said, ain't no way. Well, back then, you know, all we thought was, you know, change the cam, put some tires on. But this guy had went and changed, put some more gear in his car. Man, he set us out there five, boy, when he hit that thing and bumped that stick, he jumped right on us there. They couldn't figure it out. So it wasn't long before my uncle and them started figuring it out. And I kind of took the torch from my uncle and them. And I'm down here on the coast, and I'm well known with this grudge racing thing, like you say. if I come at you and we're going to race, you know, them was the good old days. We had a spot used to hang out called the corner. And, you know, I hang around a bunch of old guys, you know. And these younger guys, I mean, they need to get together and listen to some of you old guys, you know. And it makes racing fun like it was. Because, I mean, I don't do as much on the street no more. Because if you running and a guy just having to see y'all racing and bet $5 or $10 and the race close, he want to keep up more animosity than, you know, the people that bet the other money. So, you know, I'd rather go to the track and hang with the older guy and we get a well understand. And I've been doing a little race promoting around here down in between Mobile and Leakville. And I'm just trying to get all these guys to come together, you know. And like you say, we ain't scared. I put it out there. We got a small block on one gun. We'll try something with another small block on one gun. We ain't discriminating or none of that. But, yeah, this grudge racing thing, man, it's a good thing. You know, it all got to boil back to having fun and, you know. But it all start with the OGs in this racing thing. So, you guys, y'all keep doing what y'all doing. Like I say, I'm starting to venture out and get to meet some of you guys out in Texas, you know. I've dealt with Mississippi Joe, you know. So, I love what the grudge racing thing is doing. I just, you know, y'all younger guys, it's just, you know, keep it together. It ain't about trying to buy a better money thing. Man, let's get this thing going, you know. Because me, if I feel like my thing right and you in my class, I'm supposed to tell you I'm coming off the trail at you. So, like I say, this grudge thing is a good thing. It's a growing thing. And, I mean, you think people ain't watching. I had a guy at the track. He called me and wanted me to do so. He said, man, every time you come, you bring a crowd. So, I mean, let's get this thing going. I'm looking to try to reach out to Hattiesburg, down to Seville, the New Orleans boys. So, like I say, let's get this thing going. That's all I got to say. I got much love for the OGs in the racing game and all them guys back there with all them muscle cars that actually paved the way for this. Let's keep it going. I love y'all.
Hey, man, appreciate it. Glad to have you on. So, hey, my racers out there. Look, guys, well, your name's Spookin. Where you from? At Mobile, Alabama. Where you from?
I'm from Pascagoula, Mississippi. But we're 30 minutes from Mobile, Alabama. You know, we got a couple of tracks. I'm Owl from Hattiesburg, you know, the biggest fat Tuesday race. Like I say, y'all guys going to some of these races, stop through, you know, some of these, our little local tracks, show a little love. I got a grudge fest coming up this Saturday in Leakville. You know, I'm doing the belt thing. They've never seen stuff like this right here, and they want this fight. And I'm giving back to the fans, you know, just trying to get this thing going, man. Like I say, I would love to, you know, stay in touch with y'all. Like I say, I'm coming out to Texas. I'm looking forward to meeting you, Atomic Dog, all y'all guys.
Okay, man. What track is that? What track is that you race at?
Leakville. It's called Street Racing Haven. It's in Leakville, Mississippi.
Leakville, Mississippi. You got a small block. One gun.
Small block, 64 Chevy 2, all steel. It's on 10.5W, one gun. No wheelie bar. Tire don't matter. I even try some of them big blocks on one gun.
Oh, is that right?
Yes,
wow.
Sir. And ain't no 75-31, no progressive. It's all old school.
I tell you what, well, we got some nationals out there. We got a full line here, though. The man say, small block, one gun, he will try some big block, so.
And we got another grudge race coming up November the 11th in Mobile Dragway. They got a guy, got a baby pro mod. He called it Up in Smoke. I call him Up in Choke, because that kind of car he got, matter of fact, we knocked him off. He tried to get us to hit, and he ain't caught us yet. But, they like to gamble, like I say. We do a lot of gambling, have a little fun at the end of the day. Hey, if you come this way, you ain't got to worry about no motel. I got a house I put you up in. You ain't got to worry about nothing. I'm going to show you some real Southern hospitality.
Okay, man. Well, keep coming on. Keep in touch. We'll see. Got some of them calling out there. Maybe we can do something. So, hey, appreciate you coming on, man. And just stop in any time, and we'll hook up. And if you come this way, we come that way, man, we can do something. We can find some cars at the Mississippi, Alabama area that want to move around. That's the great thing about this show. You get to meet guys from all over. So we appreciate it. So we're going to keep the show rolling.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. We'll go to the lines. What we got?
214-6392. Robert, your mic is open.
Hey. What's going on?
What's going on, man? You both been on the iPhone, though. Where you been, man?
Man, I'm up here working. I'm up here working on old Lexus motors. Yeah, I'm up here in the shop.
What you got for us, Ronald McDonald? One of the legendary racers back in the day. Still racing a little bit today, but Robert was a big name in the growing racing scene back in the day.
I see old King was on that voicing his opinion.
Yeah, King, you know that white side on there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we down there trying to get something together. Got old CT. I finally got him to get him old decent motor and stuff, and we're going to try to get that old Chevy 2 of his worked out. Try to get back on the train.
Well, you from back in the day world, you're the blood person fans a little bit of your understanding what you think the difference between some of the young races right now versus where it was in the day. Maybe we can do something, find something that's important, maybe help something, help increase the knowledge of this stuff.
Well, I mean, everything seems like it's going, halfway decent the way it should be going, them youngsters, but they just don't have no respect for the old head.
Yeah.
But, I tell them I ain't no old head yet. I be seeing these young guys up here in Dallas and stuff, and they just ain't figured it out yet.
They ain't figured it out yet, huh?
Yeah, they just ain't figured it out yet.
Well, we just gonna have to keep on.
Everything seems to be going a little bit better. I mean, it got a little bit more technology going, a little bit more technology and everything going with what they got going on and everything, Just amazed on how they got them little tires going and stuff like that. But that's our technology and stuff like that,
Yes, these several guys run that fast on that small car is amazing. Without technology, you couldn't do it. But that's just the way the world going. So, hey, we can't stay back. We got to step up,
Yeah, man. I've been telling them all the time. I'm proud of them. I ain't hating on them or nothing like that. Because, we had back then, and they got what they got now, So it's just time. It's just like Bob Glidden and Lee Shepard and all of them back in the day. They had one thing, and the way it's going now, they probably could never think it would be like it is now.
That's right. Okay.
But it ain't gonna be long. It ain't gonna be long, We'll probably be out next year or something like that, summertime. Get out there and get our feet wet with them guys and stuff like that. Once you're in, you never forget,
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I said once you're in, you never forget, You just get out there and get your feet wet,
Yeah, that's right, man. I mean, once you love the racing, you love it. It's just a part of you. But just because you're not always out there as a racer, you still as a fan and the drift is still inside you. But sometimes from the financial standpoint of it, it's just kind of hard and not feasible for everybody to do. But that don't mean you don't love the game. So
right.
Just don't get in what we fit in,
Yeah, I talked to Willie Frank. I thought he was going to get a chance to get on here, but he probably went to church or something like that tonight. But I told him about the station and everything, so maybe we can get him on that next week or something like that.
Yeah, tell Willie Frank to come on. One of the old, definitely back in the day, old pro stock racer back in the day. So, yeah, we're looking forward to having him on. So, hey, we're on every Tuesday this time, so, just pass around. You had them guys come on and talk about it. And you see
I didn't hear last week when they told me Philip was on the top. How he went all the races and stuff.
Well, won't you tell that girl about you and Philip? You know, y'all used to have something too now. You and Philip used to try to go at it, so won't you tell the grudge world on some of the back of the day?
That's what I'm talking about. I had old Nova, had old Motor operated, and we come down to Porter one weekend. You know, Philip had those film down there. So what we did, we took both nice dollars off the cars and stuff, and Philip got up there and said he had took his nice ball off and got up there and was getting ready to make a hit. Philip got up there and backfired, and come to find out, Philip had a nice ball in the doggone, in the dope panel.
I don't know, he was cheating back then?
Yeah, he was cheating way back then. and we wasn't really cheating. But we had a nicer ball on it that we took off, but we had a motor. Well, we were running straight motor. So it seemed like we had nicer on it, but we had an old straight motor.
And one of them old
pro stock motors off in that old Nova. Had a Lenco and stuff off in and stuff. We just having some fun. But, yeah, Philip, he's a pretty good old racing boy, but he's been cheating for years.
Did you cheating for years, huh?
Yeah, he's been cheating for years. Yeah. Well, I'm going to let somebody else have it. I'm saying, listen to y'all. I got to make a run to the party house right quick. So,
Phil, your mic is open.
Hello?
Phil, your mic is open.
Hey, Robert.
Ah.
Robert.
Yeah.
You's a goddamn lie.
Okay, Phil.
It's Philip. You's a goddamn lie. Wasn't cheap. What are you talking about?
Chevelle. He had bought it from Don Joseph.
And see, we did it on we used to race on Kirkpatrick. And matter of fact, Don Ray cracked my ass that night. I was so upset. Me and Shotwell used to be kind of all right back then. I was so upset that I got beat, I decided I'm just going to blow the motor up. Okay, Shotwell begged for the motor. I said, no, you can't get it. Ain't nobody getting it. It's going to hell.
No, I don't put all those on.
So I took and run it up and down the street in low gear until I blew the motor up. And after that, I went Chevrolet. I bought me a 396, and I put it in the raggedest Camaro you can ever find. Okay, I went to kicking ass. Okay, I went to kicking everybody ass on the street. Long Man, Carl Perkins, a bunch of them. That was some hard hitters. They old school, but they was hard hitters. They was hard hitters. And the reason why I was kicking ass is because they were stuck in time. Okay, reason why I said they were stuck in time, they still had four speeds. I had a power glide. It's called let the fluids do it, but they didn't understand that. Okay, and then another reason why they were stuck in time, I was one of the first ones to have nitrous dying here on the street. They would always tell me that, that nitrous going to blow your motor up. I said, yeah, it might blow it up, but guess what? All of them going to blow up. But by the time mine blow up, I'm going to be done made enough money off of y'all to build me another motor. Okay, so that went down. So I used to have a little drinking problem. I might still do, but I used to anyway. But anyway, I used to go down my mama's street, which is called North Wayside. I come up out of ghetto and City Gas. So one night, I'm making a pass. All the neighbors knew when I was going to make a pass because I would go through the back of the neighborhood, and I would be uncapped, and I'd be warming it up. I would go down to a street called George Street and come up on Wayside. And this particular night, I did me a little burnout. So then I took off, and I sprayed it down through there. Okay, I would go all the way down to Sunbury. And I would turn around and come back and check my car again. But this one night, I seen three lights at me. It was like standing still. It was the cops. And it was two headlights and one light, that spotlight on side of the car. It was really trying to find my car because it didn't know. Matter of fact, it was behind me. I didn't see it because I didn't even really have a rearview mirror when I took off. So anyway, when I seen the cops on the other side of Esplanade, I said, okay, well, shit, I don't know what to do. So I was drinking. So I took off. I took off when I seen the car coming at me with them three lights. I took off. I said, y'all got to just catch me because I ain't had no time to the car or nothing. So I turned the corner up in my mama's yard on three wheels, jumped out, and went up the tree. You know, I know it might sound stupid, but it is what it is. Okay, so after that night, the next day, I seen the detectives come over there where they found out where that car lived at. So I didn't have a title for the car. So that means I had to, if I had any sense, I disassembled the car, took the motor, transmission, ran out, and got rid of the body because I said, if they catch me again, they're going to keep my car. So I tagged up with a guy named Artis. I put my motor, transmission, everything in his car. So we started going to Porter. We started winning every week. I would win three races every week. I'm talking about years go by. I was winning. So these other people had a white Chevelle named Star Camper. So I started driving for them because it was tougher than what I was driving. It was like a 9-second car. So they wanted me to drive. So I ended up running. They wanted to be one person. His name was Pac-Man. I know a bunch of people down here remember Pac-Man. He's not around no more. So we ended up racing for a bunch of money. And I whooped Pac-Man that night. Okay, that same night, Pac-Man, he wanted to run back so bad, he pulled out a suitcase full of money. And I wanted some more of that money. But the people that I was driving for, they were scared. You know, they just wanted that win, and that was it. They didn't care. They just wanted that win. So we end up not driving for them no more. So anyway, I end up getting my own car, which I named Venom. I am the real Venom. That's me, Venom. I named the car Venom after me. And I kicked a bunch of ass with Venom. So I ended up meeting a guy named NC with the Ghetto Boys.
So we hooked up, and I built him a little old Vega station wagon. So we end up kicking a bunch of ass at Porter, you know, and everywhere else, all on the street and everywhere. Nice car. So anyway, that ended because my partner got killed. So I ended up getting a car called, I built a car called the Black Bat. And I ended up kicking a lot of ass with it on the Matt Grudge race thing. But then I decided to go to try to run a circuit called a quick ass circuit. Huh? I ended up starting to want to run the quick ass circuit. So I end up winning 7 out of 9 events at Navasota 1 year. Okay? I went to a little banquet thing down in Navasota to get my trophy and this and that. And it ended up being, it is what it is. I'm just going to call it. It ended up being a Ku Klux Klan hall. Me and my partner went up in there. We went up in there, and we felt the vibes up in there. So we went to the back wall to put our back against the wall. So Frankie was up there. He didn't win that night. So he was up there talking about, yeah, your trophy ain't got your name on it. And I looked at my trophy, and my trophy didn't have my name on it. I'm saying, I don't want this. So they kept the trophy, and they ended up mailing it back to me. But in the meantime, the next year, I went back to Navasota to run again. They said it wasn't going to be no. I had won the next 2 races in a row starting the next season. So they said it wasn't going to be no more quick eight. So I decided, I said, well, I need to go back to grudge racing. So I took my little old show back to grudge racing. And then I end up, well, right before that, hold up, I'm going too fast, man. Right before that, it was a race at Porter. It was the second to the last race of Porter history. I went out there because I had kind of got out of grudge racing. I went to trail riding. I like horses. I race horses now. So they were telling me about this guy named Frankie Taylor with a little Chevy Love truck. So they said, you can't beat him. He's the toughest. So me and my partner went out there to watch him. So we went out there. It was about 3 weeks before the end of the Porter history. So we went out there, and I watched it. And I said, well, I'm going to beat that guy. So I came back to the shop, and I fixed Venom. And I came out there the next weekend, and I broke a starter. In order to fix the starter on Venom, you would have to raise the motor up to get to the starter. So they laughed at me. They said, oh, you scared. So I said, okay, I'll be back the next week. So the next week came. It was the last night of Porter history. This is it. This is the last night of Porter history. Okay. I made a pass right quick before Frankie got there. I seen my car was running good. So when he got there, he went to talking. No, I said, okay, well, we can do it. He said, well, how much you want to do it for? I said, we're going to do it for $7,500. He said, I don't have that kind of money. So all the people at Porter, everybody, including Horace and everybody else, and he'll be on the phone and tell it, all of them had a piece of paper, and they was writing the names and how much they put up. They finna run me. So they got up to about $5,000. And he came over. He had a whole flock of people behind him. And I told him, I said, Frankie, that ain't enough, man. You need 75. So he come back. He come back with $6,000. And I said, Frankie, that still ain't enough. So the guy that was selling the gas and all the parts, his name was Gentry. He had a little old trailer. He got so mad because he thought I was really scared or whatever. He said, well, I got the rest of the money. I said, well, there ain't nothing to it, but let's line them up. So we lined them up, and we went down through there. At that time and point of Porter, they didn't have a wind light. It was the last night. They didn't have a wind light. Lucky I had Harvey up in the tower. Harvey probably listened to this show. He know. And we left there, and I didn't even know if I won, and Frankie didn't know if he won because it was so such a close race. And, hey, it was such a close race. But then when I started coming back down the return road, all my people went to jumping up and hollering, and I knew I won. So anyway, that was over with. So I went back to the racing of the quick A stuff. So I go down now to Kennedale one night. I go in the finals with Galen. and he beat me. Jalen beat me. He was tougher. He had a blow-up car. So this black guy come up to me, and he told me, he said, man, we're having a race in Denton, Texas, and we're going to give away $50,000 at the end of the year. And I said, $50,000? He said, well, you just come up there tomorrow, and we'll pay for your hotel. We'll let you in free. We're going to give you gas and all this. So I went up there, and me and Galen ended up in the finals again that night. Galen beat me again because he had a blower car. He was a little tougher than me. You know, I couldn't deal with the blower. So that year, I tried to make every race because it was a points thing. So Big Jim passed away. Him and Frank was together. They was teamed up together. So I told them about it. So they started coming. So anyway, the race before the end of the year, Frankie ended up coming. All them bad blower cars ended up coming. So I called a guy. His name was Chuck. I said, Chuck. I said, I've been coming all year, man. My points is up. You said you weren't going to let nobody else in this. So he ended up being a scam. You know what I'm saying? And we didn't get to run for that kind of money or nothing. But anyway, let me back up a little bit. The reason why I quit quick eight racing and all that, because this guy named Glitty decided he was going to take over the quick eight racing. All right, so everybody paid their money to him because he promised all this. And I'm the only one, you know, me and this Spanish guy named Dave, we didn't pay. So one night we was at John Harrison because he used to do all my tuning on my chassis and stuff. He built the car. So we didn't pay. So I told him, I said, when you get there, man, don't pay him because if you pay him, I'm going to be stuck out by myself. So he got there. Once I got there, I didn't get there with my car because it didn't make it. I didn't get it fixed that night. So when we got there, Dave had already paid the man. Then I said, Dave, why are you paying? Oh, my partners paid him. They wanted to see me run. I said, man, I'm against it. Hey, I'm against everybody tonight. You know, I can't win. I said, man, this man is a crook. So anyway, at the end of the year, no, I take that back. Before the end of the year, that was at Navasota. At one race we went to, I knocked somebody out, and I hadn't paid to get in it, the association. But, that wasn't no big deal to me. So I knew they was talking about me down there. So I told my little old crew, I said, man, let's ride down there and see. They all pointing down here. So we got down there. So they all talking about, Philip, he ain't paid anything. So the man, I forget what his name was. He was the owner of Navasota. He told me, he said, well, look, let me tell y'all something. Philip been coming in for the last 3 years, and ain't been no problems or nothing. He said that he can run in my race, and I don't care what y'all talking about. He said, matter of fact, all y'all, if y'all got a problem with it, all y'all can load up and leave. Now, that really tripped me out. Yes, little old me, he told all them people they can leave. And finally, they decided, okay, now we're going to leave. We're going to race. So I ended up winning that event that night. But to make a long story short, at the end of the year, Glitter messed over all them people. He didn't do nothing he said he was going to do. He didn't do nothing he said. He lied to all the people and sucking them out all their money. And I'm the only one. See, I'm from the ghetto. I know about game when I see it. But see, they didn't know. They thought they had something good because they were suckers. And at the end of the year, after they figured it all out, they had to end up looking at me, and, boy, I would laugh at all of them, you know what I'm saying? Because all of them went against me, and we've been doing this all these years together, and they end up being suckered out their money. But anyway, Tracy, I'm going to tell you about yourself. Okay, you had a tough car. You had a tough car, and you came down here to run me a couple of times. And one time my car wasn't ready, and the next time my car wasn't ready. But then the next time when you come down here, I told you I was going to run you. But you made up an excuse talking about if you break your transmission, it ain't no race. Now, that shouldn't go in racing. But you done come down here 3 times. I told you, okay, well, that's cool. If you break your transmission out when we leave the starting line, that it ain't no race. So I don't want you to say I was scared of you because I ain't never been scared of nobody. I've been racing all my life. I started off in the backyard. My mama would be I'd be putting the transmission in the car, it'd be pouring down raining, and she'd tell me, you're going to catch a cold. I'd tell her, Mom, I got a race this weekend. And she would just shut the door because she knew I was dedicated to what I was doing. But when you talk about you the toughest, you really ain't the toughest because you ain't raced the races I raced. You ain't did nothing like what I did. I done raced so many races down here, it ain't funny. But anyway, I'm tired of talking for me. But anyway, the thing the difference between drag racing from back in the day to the day, a lot of it is back in the day, you didn't know what nobody was running because they didn't go to the track to get no time. A lot of people tell people times out them towers. Back in the day, you didn't really know what they was running, so you really had to take a chance. But it ain't like that no more. Everybody going to know what you run if you go to track and make a pad because they got some inside people up there. But anyway, I done spoke enough tonight. But anyway, I'm gonna get off of this here so somebody can talk about me or whatever they want to do. Anyway.
All right.
But Chase, you're doing a good job, though, man. I really appreciate what you're doing. I hadn't been getting on your show. Last week was the first time I got on your show, run my mouth, just like I'm running my mouth now. But it's all good.
Hey, Phillip.
Yeah.
Hey, Pac-Man died?
Huh?
Big Ben dead?
Big who?
Big Ben, Pac-Man.
No, he not dead. He out of pocket. He done went back to prison again. He got a bunch of time, life this time.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he ain't dead. I mean, you remember Pac-Man tree shit, you know?
Yeah.
I'm the only one with Pac-Man. Matter of fact, I whooped Pac-Man on the street. I drove ponytail car that night.
Yeah.
And he had a little blue Camaro. And I whooped him on the street. And then I come back in that white Camaro that he bought from Oak Village. And I whooped him at Port.
Huh? Hey.
Yeah.
Look here.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Texas. Anybody want to run off the trailer Sunday? Head up. I'm talking to Texas. Hard got the back tire in the move Sunday.
Hard's got the back tire in the move?
Yes.
God damn, Tree, you tell me you're going to get Hard's dad.
Hard got the back tire in the move. Anybody else want to run head up off the trailer Sunday? Hey, I'm available. Give me a call.
What are Trace at? Trace the car run. Where you at, Trace?
I'm running. I ain't running for enough. No trailer, man. Tree man locked in. Y'all don't want to know. Man, that man done called you out, man. Right after trailer, that man done called you out, man. Hold on, bro. Me, he called me. Me and Tree man talked. Me and Tree man all locked in the race. But that man said Sunday.
I know y'all locked in for down the road. That can be a second race. That man hollered about you Sunday.
I'm not running straight off the trailer, sir.
Oh, I hear you, man. I understand. I know how you feel, man. Sound like somebody's scared.
It's you and not me, because I got my money locked
in.
Wait,
man just called you out straight out. Hey, you told me your car was ready.
I said I'm not running straight off the trailer, sir.
Your car was ready, man. That man just called you out, man. You supposed to accommodate him, man. You supposed to be the king of Austin.
Phil. Me and
ain't
him,
you the King Austin? Everybody been bragging on you all night long and all this, and you finna bag down from Tree Man?
I ain't bagged down. Nobody locked in.
Everybody heard it, man. I ain't finna argue with you, baby.
Hey, Tree Man, what parts of me in heart, me in our field, what parts of you don't understand that me and that man locked in?
I don't understand why you don't come down here to accommodate it, man.
We going to get that going, Phil. We going to get it going. Just sit back for the ride sometime. You've been in the shadow for a long time, so you just peek your little head out and you think you see something. I've got this. It's called.
That man called you out. Don't worry about where I've been. That man just called you out, man.
Did me and that man lock in? That man going to run straight off the trailer.
That man called you out for Sunday.
The man said straight off the trailer, brother. I'm not running nobody.
What's wrong with that? Go catch your car for Sunday.
Hey, let me explain something to you. The difference between me and you, I'm not running nobody straight out the trailer.
You ain't got them long nuts then.
We don't want to talk about it. You want to crank this up? You don't want to go there.
Hey, I know a lot of people on this mic, man. I know a lot of people on this mic. And old buddy out of Louisiana, I mean, see if you can find him. I mean, whoever. It don't matter. Straight off the trailer, son. The only thing I got to do is
I don't go looking for him, Tree. You said for anybody straight off the trailer, I figured Tracy was ready, man. Evidently, he ain't ready, man. They all be bragging on Tracy, but shit, he must ain't ready.
I'm not ready to do no straight off no
cool,
trailer.
Cool, man. I'll get up off you, man. You told me you ain't ready. I'm off you, man.
Are you ready?
Hell no, I ain't ready.
Oh,
because is you ready?
And what did he say? He want to run straight off the trailer. What did I say? Thank you, sir.
Said no.
I can't understand why you can't run straight off the trailer. Sounds like this, bro. You do yours the way you do it, and Tracy do his the way he do it, right?
Yeah.
And right now you doing yours real well right now.
I'm doing real well. I got a job.
Brian Austin.
Hey, we got some other mics over. Anybody want to chime in? What we got? Where's the host at?
She went to sleep.
She went to sleep?
Yeah.
I see a mic that looks like one over. She can open the mic. She can open his mic. My ass, I'm going to say. Where's Mike is open?
Person right now, Robert McDonald, Tree Man, and Phil's mic is open. Who are you looking for?
The next call out there.
Steve, your mic is open.
Hey, what's up, Tracy? This is Steve.
What's happening?
Hey, is that Philip Cat, is he still on there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, what's up, man? I'm from this Austin area, man. I've been knowing Tracy, man, for a long time, man. He's a hell of a racer, but that man just got on there and said he's talking to Texas, man. You caught a Texas too, why don't you run him? You trying to put somebody else on?
I wasn't ready, didn't I? Okay, then
now I sound like you were telling Tracy over and over and over, man.
But
you know,
ready,
come off the trailer. Come off the trailer.
But Tracy ready.
Well, you get ready then.
Who you
that
is,
man? That man called my Texas. He calling you
hey,
out, too. You
hey, who you is, man?
Well, I'm Steven, man. It don't matter who I am.
I don't know
show
you.
That. Yeah, okay, that's cool. I don't know you either.
All right, well, that's good. You ain't been around racing then. You on
okay,
the wrong
man.
Show. If you don't know me, you on the wrong show.
Okay, well, the man called
all
my
right,
Texas.
All right, that's good. All right, that's all good.
All right.
Well, next time we got out there.
I'm
sorry, Tracy, I couldn't hear you.
Well, I don't got no screen right now. I'm trying to get it back up, so we got out there. Go ahead.
Lorenzo, your mic is open.
What's going on, Tracy?
Hey, what's going on, man? Try to get my screen back up right now. I can't see nothing.
Okay. Sorry to be so late. I've been in a meeting tonight. What's going on, Phil?
What's happening?
I you don't know me, but it's Lorenzo out of Dallas. I used to run with Carl Selma, Fat Carl.
Yeah, I remember Carl, the one guy killed.
Yeah, we had a surprise for you one night when you came, and we were going to try you
man,
in the back with
scared
you.
Is, I don't know what it mean, man.
No, we wasn't scared. The car wasn't going
yeah,
straight.
Y'all was scared. I don't know what it mean, man. Come on, now.
The car ran enough.
Me and Carl used to argue on the phone every day, man. And he would never
yeah.
race. He could never get his car right.
Right now, we had the car right. The car ran the number. We was ready for you, but someone broke under the car and it wouldn't go straight. He didn't want to take a chance at hitting you.
It's all good. But, you know, I would always come down there, wouldn't I?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You might
I went
you
everywhere to race. I wasn't scared of nobody. I went everywhere to race.
Yeah, that's one thing about it. I was talking with some buddies the other day, and I said, you know, when you came to town, you made some good showings, and you made action.
Really and truly. I'm going to just be honest with you. Really and truly, I'm the baddest grudge racer ever come through Texas. Tracy ain't since I know Tracy, he might have raced three races or four races. I knew Tracy 20-some years. He
He might have raised four rats. I done raised damn near 100.
Hey, Phil, if all the rats
what you gonna have to say about Phil, come on, give it to
me. Phil, let me say something. If all the rats, let me give it to you.
Hey, give it to
all
me.
If all the rats four and you were the baddest, and I come to Houston any day of the week to try to get you and you wouldn't do it, what that make you?
I told you two times I wasn't ready. The next time we lined up the place, you told me that if your transmission broke. Hold up, man. Hold up. I'm sorry. You told me if your transmission broke, it wasn't no race. If we got up there and you broke your transmission.
Two times. You said I came to Houston two times or five or six times.
No, you came there three times.
Okay, if I came there three times and you didn't ram in down one, why was I coming?
I tried to run you one time. You broke your transmission, didn't you?
How about the other times?
I said, didn't you break your
transmission? Oh, wait a minute. How about the other times? You wouldn't broke.
You don't see my car. What do
you
mean by
that?
What do you look like?
The motherfucker crashed the goddamn car with no driving ass. He know what he did.
Hold up, King. Don't go there, man. Don't go there, King. I know you've been sitting back
waiting.
I go
where I want to go. I go where I want to go. You've been where you want to be. Hey.
Don't go there.
Hey. You throw that goddamn car, Phil.
I did what?
You throw that goddamn car up at we come down there to run you one night, and you throw that goddamn car up. You was upside down, and I was
one of the first ones. Hey. And the man broke his transmission.
Hey,
we lined
well,
up.
I won the first one. Okay, well, let me talk before I ask to mute your goddamn mic till I'm finished.
Nah,
I won
you.
The first one down there. To see where you are right. And then I told you run black.
I didn't run black. That ain't who I ran. That ain't who I ran. You ain't got no good memory. That ain't much who I ran when I tore a car up. And y'all wasn't even there that night.
Well, you act like you don't remember. You remember.
Was you there that night to run me when I ran, when I tore that car
up? Yeah. I was there.
Crazy. Was you there that night when I tore that car?
You tore the car and run around it daily.
That's right. Okay.
Do you remember I won the first go? Hey, do you remember I won the first? Hold up. You I won the first guy down there and I looked to see and asked you if you was all right. You say, yeah. I say, give me my goddamn money, you no driving motherfucker. You remember that?
No, I don't remember that, King. King, and also, King, I ain't never known you to race nobody. I talked to Tracy today.
Hey,
he said you raised somebody
in
Austin.
Hey,
but I
tell you what.
Race nobody.
I tell you what. Okay, Tracy told me, let one of us talk at a time now.
Well, I can't.
You go talk, and then I'm going to talk. Go ahead.
I can't talk. You know
what? You can't outdo nothing I got. You can't outdo nothing I do. That ain't nothing unusual.
Yeah, well, I sure
now,
can't.
Go ahead on so I can talk. Tracy asked me to don't over-talk nobody tonight. Say what you got to say, and then let me say what I got to say.
Okay, I'm going to say what I got to say. I ain't never seen you race nobody, and I'm through with it.
You sure?
Positive.
Okay. I come down there, and Tree Man to get on this whole thing, and I bought an old funny car, and I told y'all before I come, I said, next week, I'm going to come down here. And they asked me what kind of car I got. I said, I got an old ragged-ass car, and every time you look at it, motherfuckers start laughing. They said, what kind of car is it? I said, a funny car, and start laughing.
Well, I would laugh.
Okay, well, look, I know you always laugh. You're a damn fool, too, Phil.
Now,
look at you. Okay, hold on, man. Hold on. Let me talk. I didn't talk when you talked.
All right, go ahead.
You didn't do that. Well, anyway, don't make me go there, Phil. But anyway, check this out. I come down there that next Sunday with that funny car. And you know how you and Tracy got together? Tracy told you that old car wouldn't run no faster than about a goddamn 460, 480 or something. We made a pass. I told Tracy. He sent that information to you. And you told us to bring the car down to Hold up. You told us to bring that car to Port. I'm not Porter, Baytown. Sure enough, he showed up with the car to run your ass. You did not bring your car, thought I was serious. And then you the one talked me all the way back to Austin, Texas, and say, man, Tracy was trying to set me up. I guess you was drinking, whatever you do, in the garage by yourself, locked up in a room, whatever you'd be doing. I don't know what you'd be doing. But this is what you told me. Man, Tracy tried to set me up. Hey, man, this motherfucker shaking the whole goddamn track, the whole cement. At least that's what you say. And then you were going to sick Tree Man on me, and Tree Man thought that goddamn me or something. But anyway, every time that I bought a car down there for action, it didn't happen, and it wasn't because of me. And I keep hearing this, the King won't race.
Hit it like it is, man. Come on, now.
But let me tell you something. Ain't no need of trying to get a back on Tree Man's job. Tree Man doing his own thing. He don't need you, Phil. So I'm
I
just going
to
let you know.
Your conscience.
Because you were trying to renew it, and you wasn't told it.
I'm trying to help your ass get in heaven, because you're a crooked
you
son of a bitch.
Get in heaven. I got to help myself. You can't
well,
help
you
me.
Well, you just did, Trick.
You can't
just
help me get in heaven.
I can't help you, because guess what?
You don't help me. You,
well,
you got a bunch of ways to go to get in heaven.
Well, look,
I got to help
hey,
me myself.
Hey, well, look here, man. Okay, since you're going and y'all cut that man up, when can you start making payments on getting his money back?
Give his money back about what?
Cutting him up, man. Took that man's money.
Okay.
So
I
you know
find that piece and cut him up.
Don't you know there's a lot of humps in the ground because a nigga do something.
I mean,
how
did he find out
something?
We cut him up?
How'd he find out?
Yeah.
Austin is a small town. Loose lips sink ships. Loose lips. Sink ships.
I say who told you?
Got it. So who? Say what?
I say who told us?
I believe you did. You tell all the other people.
Don't even start that, man. Don't even
well,
start
don't you
that.
Start then.
Don't
you
don't
start.
Start
I tell you,
man,
how far you want to go, it don't make me no difference.
I say who told him?
You did? You got a history of that.
I'm gonna tell you what I got a history of, King. I got a history of getting paid.
You got a history of getting paid?
There you go.
Hey, is that the reason why you look at the most wanted list?
No, I don't know nothing about that.
All right, we got some more hands. We're running out of time.
All right,
we got
that's the best thing. I'm off.
Let somebody go to the mic and let some of the other callers ahead and talk. I see some hands up. Who we got, caller?
Stan, your mic is open.
Hey, Tracy, what's going on?
Hey, what's that, man?
Ain't nothing. Look, Phil's on the line. I just wanted to ask him about some secondhand information I heard. I think one time y'all might have went to Georgia or Mississippi to race. I'm not for sure. I wasn't there. And I think Mr. Firespeed or somebody from that area called Phil there. And secondhand information said Phil backed down and put his car on the trailer. Now, I want to hear Phil's story.
Okay, here goes my story. Since it's all, me and Tracy talk about this all the time. I was going to run whoever died now, but I was going to make me a pass. But you had a dude named, what's his dude name running the tire? We're going to get my time before we race Tracy. What his name was? Huh?
The dude?
The one had the Black Nova. What his name was?
The Black Nova?
You know what it was. He locked up now. What his name was?
Bobby Cole.
Bobby Cole kept running the tower. I'm finna make me a pass. And he wants to run the tower and see my time. That's the reason why I didn't race. So now that you know that.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't there, so, you know, I
okay,
ain't gonna, you know, say right nothing
now.
I don't know about
well,
it.
You
I
can
just
call
know.
Tracy tomorrow and ask him or whatever. That's exactly what it was.
No, it's good enough for me. I just
okay,
want, you know.
Good.
You know.
All right. Next
good to hear you on the radio, man.
Well, I'm good to be here. It's, if it wasn't for King, I wouldn't be here tonight.
Yeah, and looking forward for you to come back to the track and get back with the program, you know.
All right. Thank you, man.
No problem. Y'all take care.
All right.
All right, next call.
Hey,
Phil, you better be on there every night.
Okay, go ahead.
Tracy, those are the only hands up right now.
Okay, it's after 9 o'clock, so we're gonna get ready to close. And then we're gonna you got any caller wanna give a final comment? We'll go down the line. Jerry, you just called a number that final comment. This cold is killing me, so go down the line, take it.
Stan, your final comment. Stan, do you have a final comment?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you.
I'm at work, if y'all hear some background. No, I just want to say, you know, I'm loving the show. Keep up the good work, and I'm trying to get to making. So wish y'all the best if I don't make it, and Come on, Phil. Get back with you. You know where you're supposed to be. Where you're always supposed to be in. So come on with it. And that's my final comment.
Lorenzo, your final comment.
I just want to say I just like showing everything, and it's a good thing going. I just want to see some of the old heads, you know, if you can get back into the ball and show some of these newcomers what the game is about, because a lot of newcomers come into the scene and they think it's all about the money, which, you know, the money is fun, but it's about safety and the racing also, and, you know, getting the cars actually run. That'll be my closing remarks.
Steve, your final comment. Steve, do you have a final comment?
Yeah, I'd just like to say God bless all y'all, man.
Thank you, Steve. Man, your final comment.
I enjoyed the show. I mean, we get on the radio and talk a lot, and, you know, I'll have fun and joke, but basically we really need to get back to racing.
I hear that. Robert, your final comment.
I just want to say everything seemed like it went well and everything. I think King and Phil got a little bit up under each other's sleeve and stuff. Trace, I tried to get Willie Frank in there, but he couldn't ever click on, so I guess we'll catch him for next week.
Okay.
I guess we'll get him for next week. He kept trying to come in, but he would have never clicked him in.
Okay, man.
So he'll look forward to next week, and I'll look forward to hearing from y'all next week.
Okay.
All right.
Jimmy, your final comment.
Your final comment.
I just wanted to say, man, they had a good time. The show was live. You know, every time King come on there, he's going to put the icing on the cake. But, yeah, Tracy, keep up the good work, man. Looking good, baby. Enjoy
right.
The show, man. Keep
right.
It up.
Okay.
Whiteside, your final comment.
All right. Thanks for being invited to come on the show tonight. And I enjoyed it. Been listening to it all night long. But like I said, everybody's got to remember that this little drag racing that we love all started from Groves Racing in the back of the day. So y'all have it. Everybody be safe.
Thank you, man.
Tinker, your final comment.
Hey, I want to put it out there and say, King, I know you said Trace is under the protection program, but you need to let that old tree man know that to keep on messing with Trace, he's going to be looking down the tunnel on that blower. That's all I had to say.
Phil, your final comment.
God bless everybody listening to this show tonight.
King, your final comment.
Okay.
King, do you have-
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all know when King come on this show, I'm going to bring it like it is. I bar none and have fun, and if y'all don't want me to have no fun, don't call King on the show. But I do know one thing. Say, Phil, ain't that Venom car still in Houston? Well, you do a lot of patch up. Won't you patch up and make up and bring that car back to the track? You said it was yours from the get go. But anyway, hey, Phil and all the racing fans, say, man, it ain't nothing but fun and game. When you take it too serious, you need to get back and relax and let it know that this is what it's supposed to be.
King, you heard my final comment. I said, God bless everybody that was on this show tonight, man.
Okay, Phil, why you got to keep coming in when I come in? What is this? That woman say King final comment. You had yours. Sit your monkey ass down. Now, the monkey, check this out. We all trying to go to, I know y'all already talked to it, but I got a new car, and we're supposed to be all going to Macon, Georgia. I wish that we have 3,000 people to show up. We got 10 going, so y'all know how short we is. Can some of y'all save some money, borrow some money, sell some of your food stamps, do whatever you need to do to get
and let's represent Texas. And I'm too. Thank you for your time, and I thank you for mine. Y'all have a blessed evening.
Tracy, it's on you if you can talk.
Hey, okay, I'm going to keep it short. Hey, we had a good show, man. Some things came out. Some people learned about some races, what they did back in the day, and people didn't know. So, like they all say, we're going to make it November 3rd. We got a big race coming up December 1st. In between the time, got a couple more races. Attica got one November 17th, and it's a race coming up at the end of this month. So it's all about grudge racing, guys, and hey, we're going to mix it up. We're going to bring some action. And I promise you, black car going to go down the track. And we're going to be hooking up, making some races. So, till then, man, I'm feeling pretty bad. So, enjoy the show. Good night, man. See y'all next time. If anybody have a topic, feel free to text me, call me, and we'll bring it up. Till then, good night. And thanks, Grill G. Good night, everybody.
Calling all bikers and bike drugs and motorcycle lovers. Street Strokers presents the Big Buck Bonanza. I repeat, calling out all bikers and bike clubs and motorcycle lovers. Street Strokers presents the Big Buck Bonanza.
Hey, y'all, it's the Chief Buck of Busy Bee. I'm going to be in the building Saturday, October the 20th at the Capitol Raceway. You better be there or be square.
Come out for the last big ride and bike gathering of the year. Saturday, October 20th at the Capitol Raceway, 1451 Capitol Raceway Road, Crofton, Maryland, 21114.
Hey, what up? It's Travis Devon, a.k.a. BOSS Bossman. Come rock with us Saturday, October 20th, Capitol Raceway. All my bikers, let's ride out. Let's go.
Only 25 minutes from downtown Baltimore and D.C.
Yo, what's up? It's your man Conan. Check it out, man. Capitol Raceway is going down. Of course, you know, I'm going to be on the bike doing what I do. Anybody trying to get with me, you know what? You need to come see me. I'm in the building, so make sure you come on out.
For more information, call Mike Mace at 443-240-5372.
One time for Grudge Inc. because the baddest grudge racers will be coming from all across the country. As Cold Killer Chris Keaton Productions presents the final hit at the Mega National Dragway November 3rd, featuring $10,500 in class payout with the Mickey Thompson 10-5 Series, Outlaw Drag Radio Limited Street, 28-inch tire shootout. And for the big tire shootout, run what you brung. Invitation only, open grudge racing and testing tuning. Gates open at 9 a.m., $20 admission. For more info, call 513-415-0942 or log on to grudgeinc.us. Saturday, November 3rd, at the Macon National Dragway. For the final hit, these guys are looking for Grudge Inc. action. Texas Roll Call, Atomic Dog Talk, Sportman Corvette, Showing Up Racing Peanut Chassis Camaro, King Arthur Blower Camaro, Alley Cat Horace Backhouse Camaro, Flip Chassis Chevy 2 Nova, Turbo Chris Turbo Mustang, Jackie Deaver Blower Camaro, and Galen Smith Blower 57 Hell Air.
Illinois Roll Call for the final hit.
You are now logged in to grudgeinc.us, the number one source for grudge racers coast to coast.